Good evening, church.
Good evening.
So good to be with you again. I appreciate the hospitality. I appreciate the love you show. Food's love. When you cook for other people, that is one way of showing love, and I am grateful for that love. It was a wonderful meal. My family says thank you. They had to get on down the road. They have school, and they're trying to make evening assembly back in Roanoke, in Salem, actually. So they thank you for your hospitality, and we request your prayer for their safe travels as well. The Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. This is day one, lesson three. When I'm done with this, I've been done with half of the messages I have prepared for you. Already. It goes quick, doesn't it? Day one, lesson three, the Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. This beautiful setting here, Martin, Tennessee, the Hatteras Chapel Church of Christ. Last summer, this church broke me in doing the first, that was my first singing, preaching, revival meeting using this format where I teach a different sermon, different song for every sermon. Every sermon is a song. Every song is a sermon with me. That's what you get with me. Good folks. I was on a 200-acre farm out there, West Tennessee, full West Tennessee. That was their big, friendly, sweet dog. Her name should have been Nee. I don't know what her name was, but it should have been Nee. She was the beggingest dog. All she wanted was all the pets
she could give her. I love dogs. Good congregation out there. Love the church. They love the lost. They take Jesus seriously when he said to go preach the gospel. On their website, tiny little congregation, on their website it said, every member a minister. That's the way it should be. All of us. All of us need to take the gospel to all the lost all the time. One time I was in Lynchburg, Virginia at the Seven Hills Church of Christ, and I'm really loose. I don't know if you've noticed, but I don't really have notes. I have the lyrics, and I have the supporting scriptures, and other than that, I'm loose. I blurted out, all of us need to take the gospel to all of the lost all of the time. When I was editing that message and adding the scriptures to it, I had a video of it, and when I was putting that sermon together, I realized I had said that, I didn't plan to say it, and I thought, well, there's my next hymn. So I wrote, all of us need to take the gospel to all of the lost all the time. I wrote that into a teaching hymn. I've got hymns on a bunch of subjects. I actually have a hymn on Joshua, like the boys read tonight. I've got to say, Proverbs 22:6 certainly came to mind. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Y'all are doing the right thing, training these kids up to serve God. That's the right thing to do. They'll be ready. When they get old, they'll know the choices that they need to make to keep the faith, keep serving God. That was a blessing to me to see these boys do this. Very encouraging. My land. Can you believe that? That's how much God loves me. That's the creek at my house. That's Bitsy up there, my Great Pyrenees puppy. She's only about 6 months old in that picture. She's overlooking the land. Looking at her property that's her job to patrol and protect. My voice has not been the same since COVID. I appreciate your patience with that, and I covet your prayers for that. So that's where God decided to bless me to live. I take pictures of it, and I share it with people to show God's glory and to show how rich his blessings are. That rock at the very top past Bitsy, a little bit above, is about 30 feet off the water, and that's where I get to live. I love it. I love God's blessings, and I celebrate them every day. Can't wait to get back to them. Get out in the woods, patrol the land, and I'm going to dig out a swimming hole right there. It's only about two and a half feet deep right there. I was talking to Sandy about that. I'm going to dig that out and dam it up a little bit. Try to get about 4 feet deep so we have a swimming hole to play in. Very richly blessed. And you are too. If you will just look around you, stay focused on the blessings, you can't stop counting them. You can't. If you're focused, you will not run out of blessings to count. How about those blessings? Yeah, that's from my house right there. You know what's nice about those? They're all the same color on the inside. Mm-hmm. Like us, right? You see where I'm going with that. all the same on the inside and beautiful variety on the outside. Well, God loves us. Just to make it clear, racism's not compatible with Christianity. Just want to put that out there. In Christ, when I was at the Spiritual Sword Lectureship, y'all have the Spiritual Sword publication here probably? Yeah. I got invited to speak there. When you get invited to speak, they give you a subject to write on, and I am not a writer. Meaning, I could come up with a sermon at the drop of a hat, I can write the hymns on it, but when you say, I need you to turn in a such and such number paper on the proper format, the bibliography, I go, oh, that stresses me out. But the privilege to speak there is worth it, and I'll buckle down and I'll do that kind of work. I'll write a paper in the proper format, but I sure don't like that part of it. But the privilege and the honor to speak there is well worth it. I am sorry about that. Garland Elkins started that publication, The Spiritual Sword, and the lectureship has been going on, I think they're on year 47 or 8. That's how long that's been going on. I got invited to speak there. Huge honor. So I was willing to do the work to write a paper for that. Very stressful. What happened was, they said the first year, they assigned me the topic of overcoming discouragement as it pertains to personal evangelism. Okay, I can do that. So meanwhile, I'm being discouraged about writing an article about overcoming discouragement. And it wasn't lost on my brother who I turned to help me out with this. I need some help. You're a school teacher. You're good with this kind of stuff. I'm not. I can write the sermon, but the paper, And he pointed out that I was discouraged while trying to write it. Yeah, it was pretty ironic. So what I did was I got right out of my problem spot and went right into my wheelhouse. I wrote a hymn on the subject, and then it was smooth sailing. Like, I stressed over it for months, and then like an hour and a half later, after I had the bright idea to write a hymn about it, I was done. And the hymns are all sermons. They are. So then the paper would follow the sermon outline, right? Well, there it was. So I solved that problem. Wrote a song called There's Another Soul, and taught it there. It's a privilege to do so. While I was there, Jason T. Carter came up to me and said, come on, man, I got a hymn idea for you. I've got a hymn. I've written it. You've got the music and the lyrics? Great, let's go. So I pulled him aside. We went into a little hallway, and I put my phone in his face. I said, sing it. So he shared the lyrics with me, and then he sang it out, and I edited some. Another musically fun song to sing about Christ, about the blessings that come in Christ. We're going to sing this verse. This is not the lesson of the hour. The lesson of the hour is the Church of Christ is the Church of Christ, just as profound as it is simple, just as simple as it is profound. But first, we're going to sing this song. It is call and response again. Yeah, I don't have to teach you anything else other than that. All right. You kill my mic.
In Christ, I've been reading from sin.
From sin.
I've been set free.
I've been set free.
He saved.
He saved
me from myself.
From myself.
He blessed.
He blessed.
With heavenly wealth.
With heavenly wealth.
He loved me.
Baptized.
I
job, basses. Way to go. Great song. Pretty simple, straightforward, in Christ. I've been redeemed from sin. I've been set free. He saved me from myself. He blessed with heavenly wealth. He loved me, and he saved me. Glory to the Lord of love. All praise to God above. In Christ I've been baptized. I press toward the prize, the upward call of the Lord. I'm armed with Spirit's sword. He loved me, and he saved me. Glory to the Lord of love. All praise to God above. In Christ all blessings rest. Ephesians 1:3. His name we must confess, just like the Ethiopian eunuch. To men proclaim it loud. In him, salvation's found. Baptism, the only way to get there. He loved me. He saved me. Glory to the Lord of love. All praise to God above. Great, potent, fun teaching him. Love the truth of the word. Love singing it. Love singing the truth of the word. All right, look at that. Come on, man. Can you believe that? I took that 2 days ago at the beach there in Florida. Right on top of that dude. He was not scared, desensitized because of humans being near him. I mean, I was from me to you. That's how far I was. Just right on top of him. Gorgeous heron. Gorgeous creature. Oh, look at that. That's brain. Look at the comb on that dude. It's not typical stand-up five-point comb like you would see on a regular rooster. His is flat and bumpy. Looks like a brain, so I named him Brain. That's one of my blessings at my house. He runs around. He's the king. He's the king rooster. I've got two others that are below him. I've got 24 birds at my house total, cranking out like 16, 18 of those eggs we just saw a day. That is a beautiful creature. Just happened from an explosion. No, no, no. That shows God's glory right there. Design. Design indicates a designer. We know that God exists. All right. The Church of Christ is the Church of Christ, simple and profound. That is a truth. I'm going to start from one particular scripture, and we're going to consider three that are the basic meat of this. And that is, upon this rock I will build my church. That is singular and possessive. He owns it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Two promises right there. I'm going to build it. He did. He's Jesus. He pulled that off. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it, right? That's what Jesus promised. He has made good on that promise. He will continue to because he's Jesus. You know what that means? That means that his church is still here. Here's some facts to consider about that. It's not a denomination. It's not. We're going to consider that in just a moment. When he said that, there just weren't any denominations. And the body that he said that about, he promised it would always be here. That doesn't mean until 100 years later when people started dividing up into denominations or 600 or 300 years or 1600 years later when people started dividing into Protestant denominations and then it would be gone and your only choice is to be part of a denomination. No, Jesus promised it's not going anywhere. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's here. It's literally pre-denominational, before religious division. Pre-denominational, before. You could even call it anti-denominational. His church is against religious division because that's what Jesus wants. We're going to consider 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 13 and John 17, 20 through 23 to support that fact. That religious division is against Christ and denominations do not exist by the authority of Jesus Christ. Do you know there's no such thing as a Christian denomination? Oh, but Paul, I drove past 14 to get here. No, you drove past denominations, but it's literally not Christian, not following Christ, to divide the body. So there's no such thing as a Christian denomination, just like there is no such thing as a hyphenated Christian. One is either a Christian having done what Jesus said we must do to become a Christian, or we followed man to become some religious thing that does not resemble Christianity. But make no mistake, it is not following Christ to be divided. We're going to consider that in these lyrics. We're going to sing it first. When I teach a hymn, I have to make sure there's not something musically I have to teach you so you won't be blindsided by some special thing that I've written into it. It's got the bird's eye, the fermata, I think is what the term is. Again, I don't read music, but that bird's eye over the word you at the top on the far right, I hold it out, and I'll hold it out with my hand each time. Musically, I'm just going to sing this line how I like it to go. I don't think it's actually notated this specifically, but this is how I sing it. You may be wondering if his church still stands. Church still stands. Kind of crisp, still stands right out of that. Church still stands. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. So does it, both of those lines. All right, tenors, I need you. And if we don't have tenors, some of you ladies can step up and do this part. I'm going to sing the way the soprano goes on that bottom line there, and then I'm going to sing both parts alternatingly. Okay, I'm going to sing the soprano, then the tenor, and then back to the soprano. You'll see how the interplay between the two parts works. This is how the soprano goes by itself. The Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. Here's how the interplay works. The Church of Christ, the Church of Christ. And that's where I need you tenors to come in. Sing that habit. You can do it. We're Christians. We're part of the Lord's church. We can sing because we're not encumbered by those man-made instruments that have no authority to be part of Christian worship. One more time, let's sing how that works. The Church of Christ, the Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. All right, we'll take it from the top. Brain. God's
blessings. They're everywhere. Just look around. I got one more to talk about. One more strange
blessing that most people wouldn't think about, and I'm going to bring it up to encourage you to consider blessing. What am I holding up here? I have my fingernails. I want you to imagine what life would be like without fingernails. Do you need them? Yeah. Did you ever think about what a blessing they are? They self-replenish when you break them? That's amazing. What a tiny blessing that is always there and always helping you. God loves you. That is a small thing to think about. But if you can get your mind tuned in to recognize how many blessings are all around you, you'll be happier, you'll be more grateful, and you'll be more lined up, prepared to do the work that the Lord has set before us all. Fingernails? Yeah. Yeah, you've got fingernails, and they're a huge blessing all around us. All right, let's sing it.
Are you looking for Jesus? Well, he's looking for you. Are you looking for answers? His answers are true. Are you looking for family? We are looking for you. We are waiting with Jesus. He will surely have. Church still stands. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He is the way and he has offered life. The Church of Christ, the Church of Christ is the Church of Christ. Are you seeking salvation? Well, we have sought it too. And we found it in Jesus, oh, and he is the truth. He
church.
Way to sing it. Way to sing about the one church that belongs to Christ. That's what of means. The church of Christ, the church that belongs to Christ. The one that he promised to build. The one that he promised would all stand, would always stand. Now, are we that one church because we have a sign out front? No, we're not. Because I know of congregations that think they are Christian, but they are not abiding in the doctrine of Christ. And they put that sign out there, but they do not obey Jesus. They don't organize the church, that assembly, a particular assembling of people. I would say believers, but obedience is the evidence of belief. Groups will assemble. They think they're Christians, but they don't organize the church the way Jesus has commanded. They don't teach the one way of salvation that Jesus offers. They don't offer the worship that is by the authority of, in the name of Jesus Christ. Abiding in the doctrine of Christ determines whether a body is the actual church that belongs to Christ or just another man-made denomination. Wearing his name out there on a sign is only part of being the one church that belongs to Christ. He that abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. We are not Christians unless we abide in the doctrine of Christ. Teach it, obey it, stick with it, live it, abide in, stay within the doctrine of Christ. He that abides not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. If we abide in the doctrines of man sourced from man-made manuals, we're just a denomination. None of which exists by the authority of Jesus Christ. Not a single one of them. None of those man-made manuals and creed books exist by the authority of Jesus Christ. Look, God told us he has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. Did he give us what we need? He did. It's called the Bible. It completely equips us. 2 Peter 3:16 and 17. Through it, we are completely furnished, completely equipped. Thoroughly equipped. We have what we need in the Bible. That's why we don't need man-made manuals. If they say less than the Bible, why do we have them? If they say more than the Bible, why do we have them? If they say what the Bible says, they're the Bible. That's what we need, the Bible. That's all we need. God promised. 2 Peter 1:3, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I'm going to build it. It's mine. I'm going to purchase it with my own blood. Acts 20:28. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It will always be here. Not until people start dividing into denominations. And then it's just like, just pick a denomination. Church of your choice? Fable. It's not going to be here until the earth burns up when the Lord comes in the clouds and the earth and all its works therein are burned up with fervent heat. It's not going to only last until then. He's taken us home. He's taken the one bride of Christ. The church is the bride, is the body, is the kingdom of Christ. But only if we abide in the doctrine of Christ. If not, just a spiritual dead end waiting to be ripped up by the roots by God. Matthew 15:13. All right, so we have considered Matthew 16:18. That is a fundamental fact, truth, statement, foundational truth that this hymn is based on. I will build my church. It's his. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 13. Now I plead with you. Now I am urging. I beseech. That's how the KJV puts it. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of, that's in the by the authority of, in the name of, by the name of, in the authority of, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. Can we speak the same thing if we're all turning to these various man-made manuals and catechisms? No. We're going to say different things that are based on what other people have in mind rather than the doctrine of Christ. Is the Bible sufficient? God says it is. The only way we can speak the same thing is if we all turn to the same source of authority, the Bible. Tomorrow night's message is going to be Speak Where the Bible Speaks. Have you ever heard that profound truth? Yeah. I wrote it into a teaching hymn. We're going to dig into that tomorrow. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. There be no divisions among you, no denominations among you. Yeah, that's synonymous. Denominations, literally, divisions. There are no divisions in the body. There better not be. No denominations, no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I'm a Wesleyan. I'm a Lutheran. Or I'm a... Oh, you see what I did there? 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 13, it ends with, I'm of Paul. I'm a Paul kind of Christian. Apostle Paul kind of Christian. Oh, I'm an Apollosite. I'm an Apollos kind of Christian. I'm of Christ. I'm of Cephas. I'm of Christ. Is Christ divided? That's a rhetorical question. Christ is not divided. Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? How about this? I'm a Wesleyan, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Baptist, and I'm a Christian. Is Christ divided? He's not. Was the Pope crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Calvin? No. We are Christians. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts 11:26. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Acts 11:26. You need that one. You need it right there. Hide it in your heart. You need that, Christian. No divisions among you. 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 13. Now I'd like us to consider, before we dig into these lyrics, one more potent passage. We're going to turn to the Lord's Prayer. No, not thy kingdom come, because his kingdom already came. We're going to turn instead to the Lord's Prayer for unity. We're going to compare that to what religious division, denominationalism looks like. John chapter 17, 20 through 23. This is meat. You need it. This is essential truth for us to recognize before we can consider the authority that Jesus has over the church and whether or not denominations are okay with Jesus Christ. Okay? We're going to consider this carefully and honestly. John 17, 20 through 23. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now I want you to consider the reverse of this. Okay? Because denominations exist. Well, let's see. If we're one like he prayed for, starting with the word that, towards the end of that passage, the last verse in 23. If we are one, like he commands, like he prayed for, the world, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. If we are one, the world will know that God sent Jesus and that God loves us. Well, what's the opposite of that? Because religious division exists, because denominations exist, and they don't exist by his authority, because they exist, the world doesn't even know that God sent Jesus and that God loves us. I remember the first time I was teaching on this passage, and it just struck me like a baseball bat upside the head. I know those denominations don't exist by his authority, but because they exist, the majority of people out here who don't recognize that being divided is against him, they don't even realize that God sent Jesus. Because denominations exist, the world, the majority of people out there don't even realize that God sent Jesus or that God loves us. God loves us enough to send Jesus. Matthew 16:18, John 17:20 through 23, and 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 13 show us that denominations are anti-Christ. Matthew 16:18 shows us that we can be the one church of the Bible without being a denomination. And if we are a denomination, we are not his church. The Lord's church is not a denomination. She is instead his church, his body. Imagine if somebody came up here and just divided my body up. Just cut my body up. Would I be living? No. You cannot divide the Lord's body. You can divide from the Lord. You can divide from his authority. You can reject his divine pattern. But you can't divide his body. You just simply cease being his body if you do that. These groups out here that teach from man-made manuals, teaching man-made doctrines, man-made ways of salvation that do not work, they're all fables. They organize their church as they want rather than the way the Lord prescribed. They're not His body. Denominations do not make up the Lord's body. They just don't, because they do not submit to His authority and they defy His will regarding unity. The only way that we can obey that command, 1 Corinthians 1:10 through 13, to speak the same thing and be pleasing to God, is if we speak what the Bible speaks. Speak where the Bible speaks. Tomorrow night's message is speak where the Bible speaks. I hope you will come for that. It's potent. All right. We need to be super careful with our terminology. I'm going to show you a way that you can point people to Jesus and show you a way where you can just close the door, okay? And I want you to use the proper terminology. There's no such thing as Church of Christ doctrine. Did you know that? There's no such thing as Church of Christ doctrine. There is the doctrine of Christ. If we teach the doctrine of Christ, we're the Church of Christ, okay? If we teach from the Baptist manual, we're Baptists. If we teach the doctrine of Christ, sourced from the Bible, we're Christians. We're the Church of Christ. It really is that fundamental. We have to be careful with terminology. Oh, that's not Church of Christ doctrine. Yeah, you're right. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as Church of Christ doctrine because the doctrine isn't of the church. It's not sourced from us. It's sourced from Christ. There's the doctrine of Christ. Teach it, believe it, obey it, abide in it. We're the Church of Christ. All right, I want you to be careful with terminology and what we call ourselves, okay? Somebody asks you, what are you religiously? I know you're a Christian. They think that there's different types of Christians. But are you what kind of Christian are you? Are you a Baptist? Are you a Lutheran? What kind of Christian are you? Oh, well, I'm Church of Christ. Guess what you just did? You just shut the door. You put that thing in a box, just like they're in a box. They're in a denominational box. You put the Church of Christ and you just shut it. Here's the right way to do it. That's the wrong way. What are you? I'm a Baptist. What are you? Oh, I'm Church of Christ. Well, guess what? You can't be a church. Come on now. That's not logical, right? I'm not a church. I'm a member of the church, the Lord's church. Oh, the Lord's church. What are you religiously? Well, I'm a member of the Lord's church. Guess what you did right there? You opened a Bible study door right there. What does that mean? What do you mean the Lord's church? What does that mean? Well, I'm a member of the one you can read about in the Bible, the one that Jesus said He was going to build, the one that we can read about, the one, you know, you see the birth of it in the book of Acts. You can open doors, you can shut doors with the terminology you use. He's Church of Christer. What? You heard that one? He's Church of Christ. It's not grammatically accurate or logical, and it shuts the door. It makes the Lord's church look like a denomination, okay? She's not a denomination. Instead, she's the Lord's church. Church of Christ, He's Church of Christ, Church of Christ folks, Church of Christer. No. What kind of Christian are you? Well, actually, I can't find kinds of Christian in the Bible. I can find Christians in the Bible. What kind of Christian are you? Well, I mean, I'm the kind that you can read about in the Bible, the one that Jesus added to His church, the one church that we can read about in the Bible. You can shut doors or you can open doors for Bible study dependent on the terminology used. Be careful with our church. Be careful with the Lord's church. We want everybody to be part of the Lord's church, don't we? I want to go to heaven. I don't just want y'all to go to heaven. I'm assuming y'all are part of the one church of the Bible. I'm assuming, because you're here, that you've been added to the one church. Don't you want everybody to be part of that church? I don't want folks to march up to Judgment Day and be like, well, I invited Jesus into my heart and I got voted into this denomination. And Jesus would be like, I didn't authorize that. It's your responsibility, church, to tell these folks that what they have done is not by His authority. And it results in spiritual damnation, eternal separation from God. That person that you worked with at the post office for 23 years, do they know? Because you had 23 years to tell them. I want them to be ready. Look, I want to get to Judgment Day, and I want to have a gang of people behind me. There, prepared for being judged because of something I said to them, something I showed to them in the Bible. I want that for you. And if there's nobody behind me, I don't think I'm ready. Are you looking for Jesus? He's looking for you. The first scripture would be, Luke 11:9, and I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened to you. Luke 11:9. Are you looking for Jesus? Well, he's looking for you. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:10. Are you looking for answers? His answers are true. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. The Bible is the truth. John 17:17. Are you looking for family? We are looking for you. That's part of the three-part Lord's invitation that I like to offer. Not just to obey the gospel, not just to repent, but we're family. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to be with each other and for each other and care about our needs. Are you looking for family? We are looking for you. You know, we better be looking for the you in those lyrics. You know who the you is? The lost. This is what we should be doing. Matthew 28:18-20. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given unto me. Remember me saying this morning, I have no authority? I don't. Neither do you. Neither does any human. Jesus has all authority. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and on the earth. Go. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations. How? Baptizing them in the name of, it's by the authority of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all the things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Matthew 28:18-20. Are you looking for them? Are we taking this offer for salvation that Jesus makes? We should be. Are you looking for family? We are looking for you. Can you sing that honestly? We are waiting with Jesus. He will surely add you. That's from the first gospel sermon. We'll use that as Lord's invitation at the end of this. He will surely add you, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Oh, it's another separator between the denominations and Jesus' church. I got voted in. I joined. I got confirmed. Guess what? You're part of a denomination. I was added by Jesus. Acts 2:47. Guess what? You're part of the Lord's church. If you were added to the Lord's church, you're part of the Lord's church. You're not part of a denomination. If you were voted in, joined, you're part of a denomination and not prepared for judgment. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who are being saved. Acts 2:47. You may be wondering if his church still stands. This is directed to the lost who thinks, oh, you can't be a church without being a denomination. Well, Jesus says you can. Matthew 16:18, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That's the one church I want to be a part of. That's the one church we need to be a part of. And that's the one church that we should want all of the lost to be part of. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. That is Jesus waiting with his outstretched hand. He has given this offer for salvation to the whole world. Go preach the gospel to the whole world. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Mark 16:15-16. That is how Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He is the way and he has offered life. Who recognizes it? John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The church of Christ is the church of Christ. As opposed to being a denomination, the church of Christ is the church of Christ, but only if we abide in the doctrine of Christ. 2 John 1:9. Are you seeking salvation? Well, we have sought it too, and we found it in Jesus. Oh, and he is the truth. Ephesians 1:3 tells us that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Two scriptures tell us how to get into Christ. You can't repent your way into Christ. You can't confess the deity of Christ into Christ. You can't believe your way into Christ. You can't pray your way into Christ. You cannot get into Christ by praying. Two scriptures in the whole Bible. Do you know what those two scriptures are? I would hope that you would have those hidden right there in your heart. Galatians 3:27. Romans 6:3-4 tell us the exact same information. I like Romans 6:3-4 because it starts with, don't you know this? I love that. It says, know ye not in the KJV. Don't you know that only as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death and raised to walk in newness of life? Only as many as were baptized are with Christ, in Christ, and therefore raised to walk in newness of life. That's going through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know what Peter said about it? Baptism now saves you through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's 1 Peter 3:20 and 21. 8 souls were saved by water. Just like that, baptism now saves you. Doesn't wash the dirt off the flesh. Instead, you get a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Know ye not, only as many as were baptized have gone through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Shore it up, church. Have those answers ready on tap. When people say, baptism is just an outward display of an inward change. I was baptized because I was already saved. Do you have the biblical evidence to show them in love? It's loving them to show them. Do you have it? I want you to have it. I want you to be ready. Are you seeking salvation? Well, we have sought it too. The church sought salvation by the authority of Jesus Christ, and we were added, Acts 2:47. We found it in Jesus. We were baptized into Jesus, and he is the truth. John 14:6 again. He will save the one body, one Savior, one bride. One is a repeating theme throughout Scripture. It just appears over and over and over again. It seems like the world's ready to accept that there's one God. They may even accept that there's one Jesus, one mediator. Oh, but there's just one church. Wait a minute, Paul. I know there's a bunch of churches. Not in the Bible there isn't. There's just one way of salvation. Oh, no, Paul. I'm sure that I can get there by inviting Jesus into my heart. It just doesn't work. You ready to tell the lost that it doesn't work? Because those folks are going to march up to judgment unprepared. Those folks you went to school with, folks that you're still friends with on Facebook that you've known for 50 years or 10 or 75 years, that you've known since you were little, they need to know. Do they know? Do the people that you've known that long know? He's the truth. He will save the one body, one Savior, one bride. There's one body and one Spirit, even as you were called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of you all, who is over all and through all and in you all. Ephesians 4:4-6. Revelation 21:2 describes the church as the bride adorned for her husband. It's just like the one ark. All the saved are inside. I wonder if you could have the boat of your choice. Do you think that would have worked? I bet some people tried it. I bet when that earth started flooding and God shut the door of the ark and Noah and his family, 8 souls, were saved, I guarantee some people had made some boats and they were climbing on them. The church of your choice does not work. It's the church of his choice. It's his church. Ark of your choice, boat of your choice. Those folks drowned. Lost. Anyone who is not in the Lord's church, lost. You cannot be a part of the religious, what the religious world calls the church of your choice. You can't be part of religious division, which is against Christ, and still be part of Christ. Genesis 7:13-16. And on the very same day, Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them, entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, and every bird after its kind, all sorts of birds. So they went into the ark to Noah by twos of all flesh, in which was the breath of life. Those that entered, male and female of all flesh, entered as God had commanded them, and the Lord closed it behind them. The Lord decides who is in his church. Thankfully, he loved us enough to show us how to be added to his church. He loved us that much. Those blessings that I talk about, that I point to, the little crab from this morning, the gorgeous birds, fingernails that I brought up, amazing blessings. But salvation through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's the best blessing of all, far and away, far none. You may be wondering if his church still stands. I hope you're not anymore. I think we've gotten far enough into this message that you're not wondering if his church still stands. You know, because Jesus promised that his church still stands. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand He that believes and is baptized will be saved, is how Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He is the way, John 14:6, and he's offered life. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. The church of Christ is the church of Christ. Are you ready to know him? Got a three-point combo. Sword strokes, 1, 2, 3, about knowing Jesus, loving Jesus, and being his friend. John 14:15, reverse it. John 15:14. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3 to remember this. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. Easy as 1, 2, 3, okay? Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. 1 John 2:3. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14:15. You can know you're my friends if you do whatever I command you. John 15:14. Hereby we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1 John chapter 2, verse 3. You need that. Are you ready to know him? It's just going to be our obedience that lets us know that we know him, that lets him know if we love him, if we know him. Are you ready to know him? Please obey the one truth. The Galatians did so in faith. Foolish Galatians obeyed the truth, Galatians 3:1, in faith. Galatians 3:26, by being baptized, Galatians 3:27. Through obedience, we know him. John 14:15, John 15:14, 1 John 2:3. And our love is shown true. It's the blood that will save us, oh, when we are inside. Have no doubt about this. It is not that we earn salvation when we submit to whatever he decided we must do. It is the blood that forgives us of our sins when we do what he said we must do in order to receive the remission of sins. It is powered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the blood that will save us when we are inside. Who's inside? Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ to put on Christ, and Romans 6:3 and 4, we've already covered. When we're baptized into him, we become the one bride. Revelation 21:2 and Ephesians 5:25. You may be wondering if his church still stands. You're not now. You have no doubt now, because Jesus promised that his church would always stand. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He is the way, John 14:6, and he's offered life. The church of Christ is the church of Christ. That's it. That's the teaching hymn. So first we sang it. We sang all that truth, but now you have a greater understanding because you're being more noble like those Berean Jews, and you considered all these scriptures that support these lyrics. Now we're going to sing it again. Then I'm going to offer the Lord's invitation for salvation.
Are you looking for Jesus? Well, he's looking for you. Are you looking for answers? His answers are true. Are you looking for family? We are looking for you. We are waiting with Jesus. He will surely have you. You may be wondering if his church still stands. Jesus is waiting. Are you ready to know him? Please obey the one truth. Through obedience we know him, and our love is shown true. It's the blood that will save us, oh, when we are inside. And if baptized into him, we become the one bride. You may be wondering if his church still stands. Jesus is waiting with his outstretched hand. He is the way and he has offered life. The Church of Christ, the Church of Christ, is the Church of
Amen, church. I got distracted from clicking because y'all are singing. I heard the altos coming in. Beautiful. After just two tries on that, I'm encouraged. Thank you so much for participating in that. That's the one way of salvation that Jesus offers. He didn't offer salvation to those who have faith alone. You know that doesn't exist either, right? No such thing as a hyphenated Christian. No such thing as a Christian denomination. No such thing as faith alone. Faith is not belief. Faith is belief coupled with and evidenced by obedience. You know, it just doesn't matter what he said we needed to do in order to be saved. It doesn't. If he said, Paul, you're going to have to learn how to juggle, or you're going to have to learn how to climb a mountain, you're going to have to climb that mountain 10 times in 3 years in order for me to save you, it doesn't matter what it is. I would have to do that. When I did that, if that was the way, that's the only way he offered. If I did that, I still wouldn't deserve salvation. I still wouldn't. And that is grace. God offered grace if we would have enough faith to obey. His one way of salvation that he offers. He offered salvation to those who believe and are baptized in Mark 16:16. In Acts chapter 2, I said we were going to talk about that. It's the first gospel sermon. I love it. It is potent. It's clear. Anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Acts 2:21. We can know that it's not a fictional sinner's prayer for many reasons. I mean, nobody had that idea until last century. It's a fable made up by man, 2 Timothy 4:4. But in Matthew 7, Jesus said, "Not every man that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven." So when he said, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, I would think that some people might have jumped up and said, Lord, Lord, save me. I called on the name of the Lord, I'm good. But that's not what happened. He went on to tell them that they had killed Jesus. We killed Jesus. My sins put him on the cross. So did yours. So did theirs. That's what he told them. They feared God. Some of them did. And they said, what must we do? Well, just call on the name of the Lord. I just told you. Nope. We know from Acts 2:37, what must men and brethren, what do we do? We killed Jesus? Well, what do? The Son of God? We killed the only Son of God? What do we do? He didn't tell them to invite Jesus into their heart. He didn't tell them to accept Jesus as a personal Savior. He didn't tell them to pray. No, he told them how to call on the name of the Lord when he said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of, by the authority of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. It doesn't mean because of. It means for. In order to obtain. If you will repent and you will be baptized, you will gain the remission of sins. Did you earn it? No. Do you deserve it when you do what he said? No. What do we deserve? Death. Romans 3:23. That's what we deserve. So when we do what he said, do we deserve that remission of sins? No. That's when the grace comes into play. When you have enough faith to repent and be baptized, you get the remission of sins by His grace. It's powered by the perfect blood of Jesus, the only suitable sacrifice for our sins, because He never did one wrong thing. Jesus Christ, in all points tempted just like us, yet without sin, He always made the right choice. Jesus the Christ. That's why we're here. It's because of Jesus. That's whose name we're assembled in. That's the one way of salvation. Acts 2:39, he said, "This offer for salvation is good for you and everyone who follows, so save yourselves." Peter actually said that in Acts 2:40. "The ones that gladly received his word," and I hope that you have gladly received his word. If you haven't, now is the time. If you haven't gladly received his word by repenting and being baptized, then you haven't had the remission of sins that comes by his blood through grace. Through your obedient faith, you access that grace. If you haven't done that, you haven't been added to the one church. You're not prepared. Not for judgment, you're not. Do what those penitent believers did. All the penitent believers in the book of Acts did the same thing. They heard the good news. They believed it, that Jesus is who he said he is. They repented of their sins. They confessed his name before others, that they believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then they went into the water for an immersion. That's what the word actually translates as accurately, rather than transliterated. Immersed. Repent and be immersed. Every one of you, by the authority of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You will be added. Jesus is waiting to add you. He's got his hand outstretched. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Friends, the church of Christ is the church of Christ. Maybe you've never heard this before, this explicit, this specifically. Maybe you're watching online and you didn't know that Jesus' church is still here. Well, she is. She's here. The one church that belongs to Christ is here, and you can be added to it. You just have to do what everybody did. You won't deserve it, but Jesus, his blood will be credited to your account, your sins will be forgiven, and you will be added to that church. If you haven't done that, now's the time. If you need to repent of any sin, or if you need prayers of the church for any matter, right now's the time. We are the Lord's family. That's what we do for each other. If you have any needs, make it known right now as we stand and sing.